Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio presentation of the month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. If you want to get free publicity from the media, you need to know how it works. This session will provide insight into how the media works, who to contact, and what to say and not to say. There is some great stuff in this presentation by a man who does it every day. Tom Perich is president of Cherry Hill, New Jersey-based Galileo Communications Incorporated, a public relations consulting firm that specializes in creating editorial products and initiating aggressive publicity campaigns on behalf of its clients. Tom's clients list range from a billion-dollar company to the largest privately owned business-to-business publisher in the United States to successful mom-and-pop companies. An award-winning journalist, Tom forged his editorial expertise with a decade-long stint as a reporter in Washington, D.C. and Cleveland, Ohio. His experience includes serving as a business editor of a daily newspaper and various senior editorial positions in a variety of magazines. Tom is the author of Wacky Days, How to Get Millions of Dollars in Free Publicity by Creating a Real Holiday, or other tactics used by media experts. His book can be found at www.wackydays.com. If you want to create lots of free publicity, you need to get a pencil and paper and prepare to take notes. There's a wealth of information in this presentation.
Hi, my name is Tom Perich, and I'm here today to talk to you about publicity for profit, how any business person can maximize their effectiveness with free publicity by using proven tactics used by media insiders. And I'm going to start off with a really big guarantee. And my guarantee for this session is that on free publicity is that before the session ends, you're going to know a couple things that no one else knows about how to get free publicity. An important element to remember is this. I'm just not a speaker about publicity, nor is this something that I did 10 years ago, and now I'm on the speaking circuit talking about this particular topic. You have my bio. I think it explains my background, but I want to emphasize just two elements. One is I was a media insider for most of my adult life, having worked on newspapers and magazines, online publications, both in Washington, D.C., in Cleveland, Ohio, and now in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, just outside of Philadelphia. So the key is that I actually did these things as a journalist. And then as the owner of my own public relations firm, Galileo Communications, this is something that I do every day. So what I tell you that you should be doing, it's exactly what I do for my clients. There really isn't a difference. I am, as I like to say, I'm in the trenches all the time. Now, whenever you listen to a session like this, the most obvious question you have is, what am I really going to learn? I mean, what will I take home today? And here's some of the elements that I want to talk about and I want to explain that you're going to walk away with. One is, you're going to have an understanding of the difference between free publicity and advertising. Secondly, you're going to discover why your background, that's right, specifically your background, makes you the perfect expert for the media in your hometown. And then lastly, you're going to walk away with an inside view of the news business. You're going to find out what is the news, who makes decisions about the news, and how do you contact those news decision makers. And if you walk away with that, you'll have a much greater chance of the media paying attention to you and raising your visibility in your area. Let's start with whether this publicity really makes a difference and the difference between, in fact, publicity versus advertising. I will add very quickly that this is something I never explained in my early days because I just assumed everyone knew the difference. But in fact, I'm still surprised at how many people don't. When you see a news story, with some exceptions, of course, that news story is not paid for. It gets there through a variety of means, and we'll talk about the most important way it gets there. Sometimes it's a tip. Sometimes it's inside knowledge. Sometimes someone picks up the phone. Usually it's a press release. But advertising you pay for. It's something when you see it in the paper, it's called an advertisement, and you usually create the ad and you pay for it. Now here's what some of the differences are, and they're worth noting because they're very important. First, the issue of believability. I tell everybody that we live in an age where no one believes anything. And since we're all skeptical from day one, why would you ever believe an ad? Now, I'm not going to say to you that advertising doesn't work. What I am going to say to you, however, is that we have such skepticism in our current society that advertising, to find out what works, you have to test, test, test. And every good advertiser knows that's a common mantra. Well, what that means, of course, is while you're testing, 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 is you're also paying, paying, paying. So it can become a very expensive proposition. And if it sounds like I'm anti-advertising, that's wrong. You can reap a lot of benefits with the right kind of advertising, but it can be very, very expensive. I think it was the merchant prince John Wanamaker who once said, "I know," he said, "that half of my advertising is wasted." He said, "The problem is, I don't know which half." So it's a question of believability here, in my mind. Every test ever shown shows that the public believes what I call freestanding editorial, one that isn't directly linked to money, when you compare it to advertising. Now, you may be thinking, well, geez, I'm beating up on advertising. So let me tell you where advertising certainly has a benefit over editorial, or freestanding editorial, as I like to call it. You have complete control over the issue of advertising. What does that mean? It means barring, breaking the law, which is usually slander or libel, actually, not slander. Slander is a spoken word, but libel or something of bad taste, you can get in an ad, you pay for it, and it runs. You have complete control over what it looks like, what it says, how it's delivered, and where it's delivered. You don't have that in editorial. If a newspaper reporter calls you up, and I've had this happen to clients, they've spoken to someone on the phone for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, and they end up only with two sentences in the whole story. Now, it's another topic some other day about why that occurs. The point is you have no control over it. You may get a interviewer who's not real well versed in your background. You may get someone that's a little aggressive or pushy that you don't like. So you don't have any control over that. I still, however, think, obviously, that the benefits of freestanding editorial make it a worthwhile investment. The third part, and maybe the most important part, is that editorial, or when you're interviewed by the media, publicity in other words, gives you that halo of the expert and of confidence that you would never get from running an ad. And the reason for that is really very simple. When you run an ad, you are, of course, beating your own chest. And when someone writes about you or interviews you on a radio station or interviews you for a TV show, they're saying there's something special about you. And that's why we're giving you this media coverage. There's also the last element, and this may be the most important part in terms of publicity. With a publicity campaign, and that's always very important, don't think of publicity as a one-shot deal. It almost never works. If you believe that, you can stop listening right now. What I'm telling you is it is a process, and I generally hate that word, but it's true. You have to be out there consistently and on a regular basis. But here's why it's important. I call it the Land's End effect. I heard of Land's End as a company, not their ads, mind you, but read about them in the Wall Street Journal, other business publications, how good they were. I always wondered what made them a good company. So one day I decided to buy a shirt from them, a dress shirt. I don't usually buy shirts through the mail, but I thought, I can afford one shirt. Why not buy it? I had heard enough about them over time to give them a shot. Well, in fact, I liked the shirt. I became a regular customer, and I bought a lot of things from Land's End. This correlates to one of my first clients, which was the largest architectural firm in the state of Ohio. And the owner of that company was really a smart fella. I came in to see him when I was pitching business, and he said, you know, Tom, I don't really care about being an architectural digest, which mildly surprised me. He says, what I do care about, of course, is being in the publications that my clients or would-be clients read, his customers, in other words. Not as classy, not as interesting, not as exciting as Architectural Digest, but that's where his clients lived. He wanted to be there. We, in fact, they probably got, I estimated once, that they got about $10,000 worth of free publicity every year by doing nothing, just because they were pretty big, and they were pretty good at what they did. And I managed to get them $1.4 million worth of free publicity over a two-year period. And by the way, that isn't my number. That was the number of the vice president of marketing for the company, because they understood the program, they listened to my advice, and then most importantly, they actually implemented the advice. Now, we're going to get into some brass tacks about what you should do to get free publicity. There's one element to this whole session today that's in the world of touchy-feely. And if you're a good business person, you probably often don't think of yourself as a touchy-feely person, especially in the business world. But this is something that borders on that. And that is, and it's always my job, to promote your expertise. The issue is that you have to discover why you're an expert. Because you are an expert, only many of you haven't figured out the areas of your expertise, nor the ways in which you can promote yourself. For that matter, what is an expert? Well, according to Mr. Webster, an expert is one with the special skill or knowledge representing mastery of a particular subject. And what that means is you've done something often enough. You've maybe gotten a degree. You have a certain amount of experience. Maybe you wrote a book about a topic. The point is that you've shown some specialization, and often there's some public acknowledgement of that specialization. That's not a good definition. It's not good enough for me. The best definition I know for being an expert, when you're talking to a lay audience, in other words, an audience that is not familiar with what you're selling, your product or your service, or your mission, if you will. And here's my definition of an expert. If you can talk about any topic for 30 minutes, nonstop, and you can talk about that topic in an intelligent, engaging, interesting way to the layman, to people who don't know the subject, you are an expert in their eyes, at least, you see. And that's all that really matters. Now, if you want to have publicity in your area of expertise among your peers, then I will say to you, yes, the standard is higher. And that's a topic for another day. But for the general consumer, the general public, the threshold is much lower. I'm not saying it has to be low. I'm saying it is lower in terms of your effectiveness and ability to communicate certain ideas. Now, I'm going to make an interesting point here about, I'm going to offer you proof that you're an expert. And here's how I'm going to do it. Whatever profession you're in, let's say you're a life insurance salesperson, let's say you're a weatherman, or let's say you're an electrical contractor, and on television or on radio, or you read something, and you're getting this information and you're thinking, well, you know, I didn't hear anything I didn't know. I knew all that stuff. And the answer is, of course you did. Because it's for the layman. I had a HVACR contractor in the greater Philadelphia area as a client for about 5 years. This, by the way, this area is the fifth largest television market in the United States. I tell you that not because I'm bragging, but to give you a sense of how competitive and how tough a market it is in order to get clients on television. Now, there are there are thousands of HVAC contractors in this area. And yet my guy was on television on every network that we have here, the four major networks in the greater Philly area. Now, he certainly had some skill and some talent. There's no question about that. But the content that he delivered, and he'd be the first to say this, is the same kind of thing that virtually every other contractor knows. So it wasn't unique to him. The only difference was he had made up his mind that he wanted some publicity, and I can say with some modesty that he was smart enough when he hired me that I was able to work with him. He listened to my advice and we got him on television. But I'm going to go one step further to prove that you're an expert. And here's the best part. The next time you hear someone in your field of expertise giving advice, and then you realize not only do you know everything, but the person giving the advice is wrong. They're not giving the right information. So what I'm trying to demonstrate, and I'm beating the drum here, I recognize that, is that you have to convince yourself, because if you can't convince yourself, you're not going to convince the media that you're an expert. You have to overcome that mental block. And I say that for a reason, because most of us, including me, when I first wrote my book, Wacky Days, I thought, who's going to want to read another book about publicity or public relations? It's a mental leap you make to get free publicity. None of us, or at least most of us, I hope, don't wake up in the morning with an ego, as I like to say it, the size of a watermelon, where you end up saying, gosh, I'm an expert. But the issue is, of course, that to be that expert, you have to first believe in yourself. Now, the thing I want to talk about next is the news business. What's the best way to get publicity? Well, you have to use the news to get it. And there's just tons of things. I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of ways of getting free publicity. We're limited by time. What do they say? After about an hour or so, you can't retain anything anyhow. 30 minutes to 40 minutes is optimum. So I'm going to be razor focused, if you will, razor sharp, rather, on what I want to get across today. Just what is the news? Well, for a want of a working definition, is the news, there's two definitions, actually. And the joke in journalism school was that the news is anything that the editor or the news director or producer decided that was the news. And we'd all ha-ha laugh, that was funny, except in a weird way, it's actually sort of true to a high degree. But a definition you have to keep back in the back of your head is that the news is anything that is relevant, interesting, informative, educational, or even entertaining to your audience. Doesn't matter who the audience is. Doesn't matter how they get the information. Radio, TV, internet, all the same. Your news, or when you try to get it to your market, has to fulfill one of those requirements. And here's a real secret. If you're taking notes, you've got to write this down. This may be amongst the two or three most important things I'm going to teach you today. And that is the two secret questions you have to ask yourself when you're trying to get your story out there. And by the way, every journalist asks this question, maybe not consciously, certainly, but unconsciously. And the question is, the two questions you have to answer is, why should I care? And why should I care now? In other words, we call it pitching your story, and pitching simply means selling the idea or what have you to the media. You have to be able to answer those questions for that radio producer or that city editor or the editor of your weekly newspaper. Why should I care? And why should I care now? The second question, of course, is then you have the issue about, well, who do you contact at these places? I mean, how do you get through the morass of people and staff? Well, the downside is, an upside, I guess, for outsiders to some degree, is that staffs are much thinner these days, far, far thinner. Advantage these days, of course, is everybody has an email. You can usually get it fairly easily. But let me give you some background here. If it's print, it's usually, in the case of a magazine, go after the editor would be the ideal person. If it's a local story and it's a newspaper, you would go after the city editor, the features editor, or the business editor on a daily newspaper, depending on the nature of the story. And if you're talking about a weekly newspaper, which tend to be staffed very, very lightly, just go after the editor and you're going to be just fine. For radio, you go to the host of any talk show, for example, or the producer for the larger talk shows. Larger talk shows have a producer or a booker, even, as they're called. And smaller radio stations that might have, a talk show or a news show format, which is when many guests appear, generally then it's the same person. And in television, just go to the assignment desk or the news desk, or ask for the news director, and you'll be just fine. And the other issue here, too, is you're going to say, well, how do I know what media I should contact? And that's really very simple. I think that if you're in a local market, you probably already know the local magazines, the local weekly newspapers, and the daily newspapers. You can also, these days with the internet, you know, people like me spend still thousands of dollars each year buying databases from reputable companies that deal with the media. You don't have to spend a penny. Simply Google, for example, let's say you're in Idaho. You could easily get a list of all the radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, magazines, daily newspapers, that is, and weekly newspapers in Idaho without any problem. Now, what you do want to do, and this is very, very important, you do want to make sure that you eventually create a list about who you want to contact. And that's critical, because you don't just send the things willy-nilly. You want to make sure that you know who you're contacting. And also, I should point out that what you also want to be very aware of is the timing of when you're pitching the media. What do I mean by timing? If you have a product or service and you think that women who are 35 years old, or maybe 25, even better, and they would read Mademoiselle magazine, I'm taping this session in January, and I can tell you that right now, writers are already working on the June issue, probably. Maybe May, maybe as far ahead as July. So what am I saying to you? The national publications often work 6 months in advance, sometimes five. Trade magazines work out in front about 3 months. A weekly newspaper works out in front generally 2 to 3 weeks. And a daily newspaper, of course, works out in front 1 day, unless it's a feature story, which means it's a longer story. They might work out a week or two in advance, depending on the nature of it. TV for shows work out anywhere from 1 or 2 days to about a week or two is the usual time frame. And same thing applies to radio. But these are just guidelines. You have to check every media outlet's a little bit different. Just be sure that you get there in front of it, especially if, let's say, for example, you have an event that you want to promote. Now, when I thought about what would I really share with you that was the most impressive, the most powerful thing, you might be mildly surprised at this. We're talking about tactics now, the real stuff that you do. In other words, how do you deliver your news to the media? Of course, the answer is, and it might surprise some of you, is to send out a press release. And you say, well, Tom, everybody knows that, press release. And the answer is, well, yes, everybody knows that, but doesn't mean... That's like saying all horses are the same. Do you want to race a draft horse, or do you want to get on top of a Kentucky thoroughbred? The secret is, even in today's internet society, the press release is still the backbone of getting your news out. A number of years back, just prior to the internet, I remember talking to someone at Business Week, the well-known business publication that's national, and of course naturally comes out, like it says, on a weekly basis. Think about this. They were getting back then approximately 1,000 press releases faxed to them every week. now they're getting 1,000 emails probably sent to them that are press releases. So what is a press release and how do I create one? This is important because when I talk about press releases, it sounds to many people so intimidating. Remember that contractor friend of mine I told you about that was so successful on television and in print? And I gave a presentation once with him, in fact. We shared the podium. And he kind of looked at me and said, "Hey, Tom, quit telling them it's a press release. Just tell them it's a memo. That's something they're familiar with. That's something they recognize. It's something that they write or they've read, certainly." I thought, okay, that makes sense. Because if you're not in my business, you may have never officially, at least, seen a press release. Any doubts, just put press release. In fact, if you really want to know what they look like, I would pick your industry. And let's say, you know, back to my life insurance example, type in life insurance, then type in press release in Google and see what comes up. You'll not only see samples of press releases, but you'll also see samples of press releases probably in the industry in which you operate, which is what should interest you. But what makes a press release really work? Here's the bottom line. You should spend about 50 to 70% of your time, believe it or not, writing the headline. And by the way, this completely parallels studies done on emails regarding the subject heading. You've got to write the most compelling, greatest headline you can find. How do you find one? Go look at a lot of press releases. Get something that's emotive. And by the way, I'll give you a tip on how to write the right headline in just a minute that I don't often share. After you write the headline, you have to list a benefit. Why should the person be reading it? You know, just to say that you're doing something is sometimes ho-hum to a lot of people. And then you go in, after you've given the benefit, you provide the real simple stuff, the who, what, where, why, and sometimes how. That's real basic. I think most of us learned that somewhere in school, even if you weren't taking a journalism class. Here's a little tip that I also often don't share. Usually following that, within the third or fourth paragraph, you quote somebody. And usually you quote yourself. I'm assuming you are the president or somewhere at the executive level or the top layer of whatever business that you're in, whether you're a contractor or whether you're selling software. The real secret is try to find somebody who's respected in your industry and see if you can quote them. Doesn't mean you can't quote yourself again. You know, you're really happy about the situation. But what you really want to do is get someone who carries some prestige and some influence and quote that person. So, for example, back to my contractor example, or let's say, again, my life insurance salesman example, maybe you get the mayor of your town, you think of a reason for getting him in the press release, and you quote him. He's going to love you for it. He's getting free publicity. You'll raise the chances of the press release being used because the person's probably better known than you are. And it has the cachet value of the mayor saying, "Geez, what a wonderful person you are." Then what you do is you end up expanding the information if necessary. And then lastly, you end up what I call the close, close, close. And what makes me a little different from some of the press releases that I've often seen is I always try to look for a call to action. Now, a call to action really is a part of marketing and not public relations. But I really, really try to always make sure there's a phone number or an email address or a website or a free report or a book they can get for free. Something that will push them into the direction that you want to push them. Why else would you be doing the press release? Why else are you getting publicity? Now, I promise to give you a professional tip that I often don't share about the headline. Okay, let me explain exactly what that is. One of the best tips that I can give you, when you write a headline and you're puzzled, you say, "Well, what do I do?" What I have learned is to simply to solve a problem. In other words, in the headline, in your industry, make sure that you solve a problem. That's always my shortcut when I'm stumped with something to do. For example, in the PR business, let's say I have to write a press release for myself. What I'd probably do is, and I, by the way, I'll give you should do the same thing here. I rewrite a headline, The Five Myths of PR. So what you do is you take the objections that you always find in your business. You call those objections a myth. Okay, and by the way, numbers really work well in a headline. And then what you do is you start taking those objections and you answer the five myths in your press release. It's fantastic. Now, you're also going to wonder, what does a press release look like? And there will be a handout that you can get. And we did one for Adams Hudson, who's a fantastic marketeer, and and he's just a terrific writer when it comes to writing marketing copy. And he asked me to take a look at his press release, and we were able to make some minor changes to it after a few drafts, and it got terrific results. Now, once you have a sense of what you want to write about, which often is a stumbling block for people, they say, well, you know, Tom, fine, I know I need media attention, and yes, I know that I've got to get the word out there about my business. I get the whole idea about the press release, but there's nothing happening here. So, you know, tell me, give me some reasons about why I should send out a press release. To make your job easier about why you should send out a press release, I'm going to give you four or five reasons about why. First of all, offer them something new about your business. Every time something happens that's new about your business, send a press release. For example, you've promoted someone. You've added a new staff member. Send a press release. Important, always send a photo of a person whenever you can. When I was the business editor on a daily newspaper, and I had room for three people in the newspaper, right? They were newly appointed in various companies. So I've got room for three people, but I've got six press releases. But two of the six, the people were smart enough to send a photo in. Guess who got in? You're absolutely right. Those two got in. And so the chances of the other four was only 1 in 25, where the first two were almost guaranteed. Did you ever think for the fact that by sending in an announcement, you've done two things? You've shown that there's some awareness, some growth, that there's something exciting happening at your business. But did you also ever think how that new hire is going to be enthused because probably in all likelihood they have never been in the news before? And it feels great. It's human nature. It doesn't cost anything. So it's something you always should think about, something that's new. I remember writing a press release. We got some very nice coverage. It was someone in the printing business. And he was simply moving from one location to the other. Of course, the way I wrote the press release was that this wasn't just a move, but this was a new building specifically designed for the printing business because of special modifications he had made. And in fact, we got some very, very nice play on that. Secondly, send out a press release that shows that you or the people who work with you are winners. Anytime someone in your company succeeds at anything, send a press release. For example, if someone in your company, and let's use it because I'm familiar with the industry, the HVACR industry, gets NATE certification, that means that person has demonstrated some specific skills in that industry by passing a rigorous test. You should send out a press release. And that's important because not again just for the employee, which I just spoken about, but it shows that you're hiring the best, most highly qualified people, and therefore you're giving people to have a confidence when they think about calling you for your services. But here's the best part. Even if they're not in your business, if your secretary Joanne competes in triathlons and she ends up taking third place, take her picture, write a press release, because guess what? Many times in those press releases, what you have is you have not only the name of the person and what they did or their accomplishment, but also where they work. especially in a smaller town or a medium-sized city. A third reason for a press release. Sponsor a contest. If you send a press release because of a contest that you're sponsoring, send one that announces the contest, and then also send one afterwards who describes who the winner is. We did this once in this area. We called it the ugliest boiler contest. What we did was we had the staff, we offered a new boiler to the person who had the ugliest boiler in the area. And they got dozens and dozens of photographs. The staff narrowed it down to three different ugly boilers. And they were going to pick the winner. I said, no. No, they're not. We're not going to do that. So what we did was we contacted a local elementary school. We had a little session with fifth graders. And the reason I picked fifth graders was because the contractor who's running the show here had a son in the fifth grade. We took those photos and we blew them up to poster size. And we had the kids vote on the ugliest boiler. By the way, that was something like a $10,000 or $12,000 new boiler that was going to go in. So it really was a great deal. And we had ABC News was going to come out to film the kids screaming and shouting. And by the way, always send photos with contests, especially with winners. And if you can bring kids in, or old people, or animals, it makes it that much more appealing. So throwing a contest is one approach. Let me give you another reason for a press release. Give an award or create one. Why don't you do Bob's Golden Boiler Award to a journalist in your town who has written or broadcast news or has broadcast a news piece that dealt with saving energy? So, in other words, you convey an award to a journalist who covers your industry, and you rotate it, and you give it to him at an awards banquet. Surely all of you have seen, for example, on a TV network, you'll see sometimes an anchor or one of the reporters getting an award. Well, what happens as a result of that? Well, naturally, what you also have then is they're going to cover the award, and they're going to end up broadcasting it. Same thing applies often if you have, for example, you want to write a press release, and sometimes people say, well, Tom, we have no one to do this. We have no one who can write the press release for us. Here's my best tip, and you should write this one down too. If you don't have someone on your staff that you feel comfortable doing it, maybe you don't feel comfortable doing it, call your local weekly newspaper. People who work on weekly newspapers often have pretty good skills. They tend to be paid very poorly. They'll do a good job at the press release. It shouldn't cost more than a couple hundred dollars. And here's the best part. If Suzanne wrote a press release, and I'm talking about the weekly newspaper in your area, so she writes the press release, right? You're done. You can submit it to all the media. Now, what do you think the chances are, though, that if she wrote the release, that they will probably end up running that press release in your newspaper? I'd say the chances of it are pretty good. Let me give you just a couple more real quick tips that work ideally for a business person. First of all, obviously use the internet. Type in to Google free websites and make sure that you post your... You have to register, it's sort of time-consuming, but you can post your press release to free news websites. Now, just make sure some of these websites do not let you take them back down or change them later. So if that matters to you, you may want to have a second thought. You have to look and see what the policy is and whether you can do that or not. You can also... And what you should do is next time a major holiday comes around, they're always looking for experts on trends for that holiday. For example, back to my contractor example, during the 4th of July, if I was an HVAC contractor, I'd send out a press release offering cooling tips so that your holiday picnic isn't ruined. and also how to keep everyone cool while saving on energy. The other thing that you should do is think about planning your publicity campaign during your slowest times. If you need to shake up your income during the slow periods, that's when you begin what I call a publicity campaign. If it's weather, talk about health. Send a press release out, for example, back to the contractor example that deals with the issue of air quality. A third thing to do is react to the news. A small part of you, if you're going to do this successfully, is you're going to have to watch the news, pay attention to the news. If you're watching a TV show or reading a newspaper article and see something that is a mistake about the industry, in print, write a letter to the editor or send a press release correcting the mistake. The more news you watch, the more likely you will begin to think like a news person. Very quick example. As I mentioned, I'm giving this presentation in January. And in December, South Jersey, we had pretty good weather, but the Midwest was slammed with a horrible winter weather. So I happen to have a client who's in the disaster preparedness business. So we wrote a terrific press release talking about how to prepare, how to make sure that your car was ready for any winter emergencies. And they ran the entire press release with the photo of a car covered up in snow, is what we call a stock photo, and it worked wonderfully. Why? Because I was playing. Now, we didn't have the bad weather, but I was preparing, if you will, people in Jersey, in New Jersey, with the possibility of that bad weather coming. And I might add, in fact, we did get that. The other approach, one that works terrifically, is once every couple months, call up a journalist that covers your area and just say, Joe, you don't know me, but I've got a story idea that might interest you. Some people call me I'm an expert. I'm really not. But I say I'm really not because you want to be a little humble here. And then go pitch your story to that person. What you'll find is by not being slick, by being just yourself, it's often those kinds of phone calls that interest journalists most. People like me, who are in the PR business, our problem is journalists think, gosh, I don't want to end up talking to another slick PR person. So you actually have a benefit over me. I want to conclude with two basic points. The first is, like most things in life, is you have to make a decision to do something, and then you have to do it on a regular basis. You know, I wrote a 250-plus page book called Wacky Days that gives all kinds of ideas about publicity. But when I talk to someone, especially if they're not going to be a client, I say to them, you know, go through the book. There's just dozens and dozens of different ways. Find something that you're comfortable with. I said earlier, some people love talk radio. They can't imagine writing anything, but they like to get on a radio and be interviewed. Other people like television. Other people are terrified of television. Some people like to write. Some people hate to write. All I'm saying, there's lots of ways of doing this. You just have to commit yourself to doing something. And then the other part, like most things, just the way we stay in shape, is you have to do it on a regular basis. And try to see what's natural for you. For example, if you're in some kind of business where there's an automatic renewal date, then maybe you do that your publicity campaign once a year only. Naturally, you're going to be preparing a couple months in advance if you took my warning earlier. If you're a contractor, almost regardless of the type of contractor, there's a seasonal touch to it. So in my mind, every contractor should have at the very least a four times a year publicity plan. And again, for the contractors, they have to start before the actual date sometimes. And the last part is you simply have to, and it sounds like a cliche these days, but you simply have to do it. You have to commit yourself. And how is that done? It's either done by you, if you like doing it, you have a feel or maybe a talent for it, or someone on your staff. Or you could even hire somebody. But I'm saying to you that you really don't have to hire a PR person. You can do it yourself, or someone on your staff can do it. The last piece of advice that I would offer you, and this is probably one you might want to jot this down. We always start with good intentions and then we slide. It's human nature. So how do you overcome that? Everyone can subscribe to my free monthly no sales pitch newsletter called Publicity for Profit. All it is, it's a text. It's very brief. It's very tightly written. It offers anywhere from 2 to 3 publicity tips per month. Now, why is that important? Well, the reality is the tips work, or they wouldn't be there. But more importantly for you, it's a little nudge, a reminder that maybe you should try this in your business. And most of the principles that I've discussed will work virtually in every business. You just have to adapt it to your particular industry, to your market, and to your own style. And you can get a copy of my on my newsletter. As I mentioned, it's free, by simply going to wackydays.com. That's WACKYDAYS, which is the title of my book. I want to conclude by saying I've enjoyed spending time with you and by reiterating what I started out with, that you can do this. You can actually make your name or your business, at the very least, an icon in your neighborhood or your industry where you live. The only difference between you being an unrecognized expert, which is where you are right now, and becoming a recognized expert is to by using the news, using the media to spread your message in a style, in a timely fashion, and on a regular basis. And you do that by promoting yourself through press releases and thinking about how you can use the media to answer questions that your customers have. If you do that, if you make the effort, you're going to be surprised that all of a sudden people will be talking about you and you won't have to talk about them. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 800-432-7963. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.